hook into the story because it ties into the word a tad. You have to look into what I'm going to talk about, and then we'll get into the word. Gun line. Now, the gun line that I'm going to refer to is five howitzers, all 155s. They're based apart, 100 meters apart. And they're kept that way because you don't want them basically 100 meters apart, 50 to 100 meters apart. Because if one blows up, the chain, that starts off a chain reaction. Boom, 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 boom. And it's all gone. Everybody that's there dies. Okay? So as much ammunition that's there, high explosives, you know, it's all gone. And you figure there's anywhere from 200 to 300 people, sometimes 400 per battery. You call five howitzers as a battery. Artillery is trust me, I'd rather deal with the companies of infantry, because that's where I come from. But towards the end I dealt with infantry. I mean artillery. So my buddy, Colonel Kelly, towards the end, we started taking short rounds from another battery. So what you're supposed to do is, when you're taking short rounds, your first thing is to evacuate the gun line. Because you have to cease fire, call in, and back up. Tell them to cease fire, because the stuff is right in front of us. It was right, dropping right there. Everybody, it was right there. I mean, it was danger close. We call it danger close because it was within 50 meters of us, or 50 yards. But our mission was for a suppression for the infantry unit that was in the attack. Battalion was in the attack. We were supporting their attack. At the same time, another battery was firing, was supporting us in their support. But they were firing in our position. So that was bad news. Right. You figure another artillery battery was firing on us instead of the bad guys. Right, friendly fire. So what does Kelly do? Instead of everybody taking cover, Kelly gets up out of the hole, out of the fire direction control hole, or tactical operations center, and starts walking the gun line, telling everybody to buck up. Not in those words, but he's walking the gun line, and I'm talking to him in every word that I know, including some words that I cannot say, to get his big 6'6 self back into the hole so we can call in to tell him to cease fire. So he's not listening to me, and I'm his radio. I have the radio with me, I have his call signs, and I've got the map. And he's got a call to tell them to stop firing. But our mission is to support the infantry battalion. And we're not, because we have ceased fire. And these guys are in the attack. And Kelly's walking the line telling them to get back on the guns and fire. Because it's no longer us, it's them. You see what I'm talking about now? It's no longer us. We should not be afraid, although we should be afraid, but our brothers are in the attack. They need us. Okay? Faith. You've got to have faith. It's going to be okay. Kelly is telling us it's going to be okay. Don't worry about a thing. His presence out there is a role model. Don't worry about a thing. You're not going to get hurt. This 6'6" lanky Texan is telling us, don't worry about a thing. So what does Bear do? He's saying, I got the map. I got the call signs. I've got the radio. He's going to need to call. Runs out there. Okay, if you're going to go out, here, call. Here's the call signs. Here's the map. Call it in. And so we're walking the gun line. He's calling it in. And da 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 da. So we're walking the gun line. So everybody gets back in. Look, there's Kelly. Get back on the guns. So everybody gets out of the holes, back on the guns, and we start firing again. So eventually, we found out who was the ones. They ceased fire, they corrected their guns, and they got back on target. They started firing again. But everybody saw Kelly back on the gun line, and that put spark into their souls, and they got back on the guns, and infantry did what they were supposed to do, and they attacked. But Kelly was the one who did what he was supposed to do. He was the role model. He was the one who gave him the faith to do it. Okay? Got that? He said have faith by being there. Okay? All right. That's the good one. So let's go. We've got a lot of work to do. Let's go to Numbers. Get the map. Got the map? Please?
Mm-hmm. Wait, please stop. Stop. Okay. Just 1 second.
Numbers 13 and 14.
Okay.
Did you get the map?
Yeah, 1 second, sir.
Okay, sorry. Now, this is very important. You use that? That's cool. Okay, would that work? Yeah, that'll work. Now, this is very important. I'm going to do something I usually don't do. Carry the mic. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send the men to spy out to the land of Canaan. This is chapter 13. Land of Canaan, which I'm giving you, he's given you then, to the children of Israel, for each tribe of their fathers, and you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All the men, them who were heads, the children of Israel. Okay, so they went out from the land of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. Now, figure the land of Paran is down here. Okay, just picture it. The land of Paran is down here. Everybody see that? Land of Paran. Use this as God's flesh. Yeah. Use this as the a border. Let's see a little bit. That's okay. Use this as an imaginary border, as home for the Israelites. They're right by the border. They're almost home. They're right there. God is sending them to go scope it out. That's per the Lord. Okay, we're going to skip down to 18, to 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains. Now figure, all up in here, which they're going to go, use this as a mountain. Use this line where all the water is, just to the west, all up in there are mountains. Okay, use that as an imaginary ridge line as mountains. Okay? And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not, be of good courage. Okay, he's telling them to be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now, the time of the season of first ripe grapes, so it's ripe. It's of that season. Okay, everything is fresh. So we got to see what's up there, what that land is worth. So they went up and spied out the land of the wilderness of Zin. So, can I have the map? Okay, yeah, there you go. Thank you. So you figure the land of Zin is right here. They started here. This is the land of Zin. So they're coming up through here. All right? As far up as to Rahab, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up to the south and came to Hebron. Now, Ramah is up there by Dan. Dan is up there at the north. Okay? So they went as far from Zin, all the way up to the mountains, up to Dan, and then they came back. So they traveled all the way up north, and they came back. They got all that intel, information, but Moses saw it, and they came back down. Now we're going to find out what they saw. And they went up south and came down to Hebron. Ahiam, Shashi, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zaan in Egypt. They came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down there a branch with a cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. That's how heavy it was.
Big grapes.
Big grapes. I mean, this was awesome. They brought some of the pomegranates and figs. This place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of men which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land. Now this is important. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they went out for 40 days. We all know that, right? But that's an important point. 40 days. So we're going to skip down to 27. They told him and said, We went out to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. But, here's the but. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those are the three sons. And on the other people, they're humongous, the giants. So now they're afraid. This is where the faith comes in. Everybody's afraid. Now here comes the excuses. This is where the work comes in. Who is doing your work? Are you doing your work? The Anakins dwell in the land, 29, the Anakins dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the banks of the Jordan. 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." This is Kelly speaking. He's walking in front of the gun line. Caleb is Kelly. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And we gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which we had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone and spied is the land of devourers or its inhabitants. And we, the people whom we saw, and the men are great stature.'" So, right off the bat, they gave up. Let's go to 14, chapter 14.
Give me a second.
We'll go to right after verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, which usually they do when they're sad or upset. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy on is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring it to us and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. They got no protection, he is saying. "And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." He's saying, "We'll go over there. We'll take it. There's nothing to worry about. God is on our side."
Amen.
"Where is your faith?" And the congregation said to stone them. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle, the meeting place before the children of Israel. Now the Lord is really upset. Here Caleb is telling them, "We'll go take it. He's given it to us." Remember the map? The wilt? The borderline? Paran, Zin, here they are. All they got to do is go across. They're home, scot-free. Got to do is listen to Caleb. Put the faith in God. Take it. All this is theirs. Have a little faith. They're home free. Verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard their complaints which the children of Israel make against me. How long shall I bear the evil congregation who complain against me?" All during the trip from Israel, or from Egypt, I should say, from the gate, from once they stepped foot out of Egypt to this point, all they did was complain.
Out of slavery,
right. All they did was from bondage, from freedom, from day one, complain. No faith. And here, the Lord has taken care of them. Manna from heaven, birds to eat, food, fresh, every single day. And as you read on through this book, all the way to where they finally get their inheritance, They haven't had to change clothes because the Lord has taken care of the clothes and shoes. Where is their faith? 28. So say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in me hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire numbers, from 20 years old and above. So from 20 years and above, are going to die. Isn't that sad?
No faith.
No faith whatsoever. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by none know those others shall enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But the little ones, whom said would be victims, I will bring them in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But you and your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out in the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt. 1 year, namely 40 years, you shall know my rejection. The Lord spoke of this. I will surely do this evil congregation and gather together against me. In this wilderness you shall be consumed, and there you shall die. 40 years. Each day they went out and spied turned into a year. And just think, from Paran to Zin, they were there. But because they didn't believe that they could take the land, no faith. And Caleb told them, we could take it. Their defenses are gone. God is with us. Here's the proof, milk and honey. Who is doing your faith? Where is your faith? Are you relying on other people? Are you looking at others to strengthen up your faith? Or are you just, or are you believing in the Word of God to strengthen your faith? Are you looking at Teresa and saying, because God pulled her out of it, I can do the same? Or are you trusting in God to pull you out of it? Where's your strength? Are you looking at Pastor Ralph because God pulled him out of it? If God can do Ralph, he can do me. If God let Elder Joe walk again, he can make me walk again? No, I don't think so. Trust. Your faith has got to be between you and the Lord, not Elder Joe, God, and you. It's between God and you.
Amen.
Got it? Next page, please. Let me leave you some bullet comments. Examples of faith to think about. Now, I just went through the Bible looking at some of these. Remember the rainbow? Genesis 9 and 16?
That's right.
God's promise. Every time you see a rainbow, he promises that he'll never destroy the earth like that again.
and then Habakkuk, but they shall just live, they shall live by his faith. Remember that one? And then the Canaanite woman. And then, remember the woman with the flow of blood? Jesus felt the flow, the strength of him being sapped out. She said, what, if I could just touch him.
Right.
That's how strong her faith was. That it even sapped him, sapped his strength. Because that's how much strength her faith was, how strong her faith was. Sapped Jesus' strength. He said, whoa, who touched me?
That's his preacher.
He said, whoa, he's walking. And whoa, he felt it. But she said, if I could just touch him. That's her and him, not her Teresa and him. That's not her Elder Joe and him. That's not her Ralph, Pastor Ralph and him. That's her and him. That's you and him. No one else in between. That's not you, Kelly, and him. That's you and him. Faith, you and him. Okay? Got it? Got to have that faith. Without it, 40 years. 40 years. Just think about that. They could have been there. But they said, nah, they were afraid. Okay. Thank you.
Good night. Huh?
Good night.
All right. Praise God. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, I believe 7, says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
Things we see can throw us off sometimes. But we, as Brother Joe, as Elder Joe was sharing, if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we find ourselves studying the Word of God, we'll find out what God's purpose for our life is, all, what it's all about. Amen? And when we come to know Jesus, see, when we come into the house of the Lord, and someone is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then someone stands up and asks that monumental question, is there anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus? It's not just idle words. It's not just something the church folks do. But it's admonishing someone to put their faith, their hope, their trust in Jesus.
Amen.
We're living in some crucial times. And regardless of how much money we make, how many people we know, or where we've been, or where we come from, it means nothing. What means something is the just shall live by faith. And for us to be just, we have to be justified in Christ Jesus, receiving the one who gave his life for us, and we'll find that our whole life will change, and we'll learn how to walk in faith. You see, what happens when that paycheck don't come? You know, my grandmother used to get mad at the mailman. Where is he at? You know, but so what if that prognosis comes back and it's not good? You know, there's so much. Jesus said in this world, we're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you have to have faith to believe that.
Amen.
See, and if we want to excel, if we want to be that all God wants us to be, we just have to receive Jesus. We don't have to pay nobody. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to roll on the floor blowing bubbles. All we have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. And that I said earlier when I got up here that, you know, there's folks in here, so many people with testimonies of where God has brought us from. Somebody needs to hear that. You see, we get up here, we preach the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for His powerful Word. But when we testify of where God has brought us from, someone may be sitting here saying, you know what? I need that. We may see someone that we know that's something different about them. They're smiling or they're believing God even in the midst of trouble. What is it? It's not them, but it's the Christ who lives within them. So, brother, thank you for the word of God on today. Thank you for sharing from your heart. You know, I know you. I like you bring in your experiences you had in the Army. And I tell you, I don't envy places where you've been. You know, I was in the Air Force. We on Easy Street. You guys had to protect us. You needed the airplane, see? So I haven't been in live fire, see? But wherever we are, we have to learn how to trust in God. I would so many days in my life that I had to know Jesus when I was in the war. Oh, how much further up the road I would have been if I had known Jesus when I got out of the service, and if I had known Jesus when I first got married, if I had known Jesus, see, you know, but thank God for Jesus. So when I surrendered all, when he rescued me out of the world of sin and shame, had no idea who he was, but said, Lord, come into my life has never been the same. And yours will never be the same as well. So if anybody in here, if you have never made your peace with God, as it were, if you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the time to do it. You know, I've said it so many times, I would leave this place in that in-between place, in that quandary of, what are they talking about? Am I ready? Or am I have to give up something? No, no. Jesus is standing with his arms wide open. If you're in the house of the Lord, you want to give your life to Christ, today is the day. Is there anyone here that would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about love, the love that God had for us. Praise God. If it's not, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us not to be like those in the wilderness who complained, who were fearful, who didn't trust you, Lord. God, with all we're confronted with, help us to learn how to trust you. Help us to learn how to stand on your word. Help us to apply your word to our lives, Lord, and we'll be able to be the husbands, the fathers, the wives, the mothers, the children that we should be, Lord, bringing glory to your magnificent name. God, so many of us we're going through. All of us have issues in our lives, and we can't make it without you, Lord. But God, we know that you're a miracle-working Savior. You're healing, you're delivering, you're setting free today just like you were then. Help us, Lord, as a body of believers, to bind our forces together and to give you praise. Help us to go outside of these doors, these walls, and reach those that are lost, Lord, those that are heavy laden, those that are hurting, those that are in prison, those that are homeless, Lord God, those whose homes are in turmoil, Lord. Help us to go out with a word from you that will encourage someone's heart. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask you to continue to bless Elder Herrera, Sister Teresa, as she goes for surgery at the end of this month, that you're already working on her behalf. We're not going to wait till the battle's over. We're going to shout now. We're going to give you praise now. Yes. We know that you're working on her behalf, Lord God. And I pray that you would take her back to the place where she can share your word again, where the load, the burden will be lifted off of her shoulders, Lord, all that she's carrying. You will free her up to be able to do all that you called her to do. So we bless you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We continue to pray for Pastor Ralph, Lord, his strength, Lord, his determination to live for you, to serve you, to preach your word, to minister to those that are in need. God, we ask you to pour out of your spirit on him now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, continue to work miracles on his behalf. And God, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the saints of God everywhere. And everyone today that said, pray for me, God, stretch out your hands. Stretch out your mighty hand, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just ask you to bless the offering boxes on the wall. God, we ask you to bless the food that's been prepared for us, Lord God. Thank you again for your word on today. Help us, Lord, to be hearers of your word and to be doers of your word, to apply it to our life. Help us to go back and look at that passage, Numbers 13 and 14 that Elder Herrera preached about today. Help us to go back and look at that, Lord, and find ourselves, see where we are in that place, Lord, in your word. And we just thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all the saints.